when French business partners Victor Luger and Tigran Seydou opened their first Italian restaurant in Paris back in 2013, their mission was to bring authentic food from across the border, the food they grew up loving. And while any restaurant can claim to make real Italian food, the pair spent two whole years driving around Italy to find the best producers and suppliers. Today, they have 9 restaurants as part of the Big Mama Group, including a brand new trattoria in London's Shoreditch called Gloria. It's their first restaurant outside of France, and stays true to the company's aim of authenticity. That means as much as possible is made in-house, and everything from tomatoes to hams to cheese all come from a network of more than 200 small Italian producers, along with wine, furniture, fixtures, and the staff, everything direct from Italy. To oversee this new location, Victor moved his wife and children from Paris to London, with the aim of finding success in one of the world's toughest restaurant markets, with Big Mama's commitment to top service and good, affordable food. Big Mama has been growing rapidly, now employing more than 650 people. They're also a certified B Corporation, which means they're committed to having a real and measured positive impact in everything the company does. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Daniel Bache. For this week's episode, Victor and I sat down at Midori House to walk through his lifelong love of Italian food and the story of Big Mama.
Actually, it started in 1984, the year I was born. And my grandfather, being passionate about wine, said, okay, I ought to buy like a few great bottles of wine from the year my grandchild is born and we will drink it over time. Problem is, in Bordeaux, 84 was a very bad year, so he actually bought 85. And then over the year, every year for my birthday, for Christmas, etc., and then same with my sisters, we were opening these great bottles and there would be a Chateau Margaux or a Mouton Lafitte or whatever. And that was always like a very important moment. This is like sacred. You can try it. And then when I was 12, I could like just take a drop of it. And that's one of the first memory I have that what you eat and what you drink, it's important and you should care about it. Tigran, my partner, he was born on the border with Italy in a family of people in hospitality. If you just invited over to his house on a Thursday, you will understand why this guy is doing hospitality. Mm. He's so welcoming. So all that is very deeply rooted, I think, in our very early childhood.
So how did you come to meet Tigran then? Because you started in a very different background professionally. You weren't in hospitality. You were doing something quite different.
No, I was a music producer and a book publisher, and he was working in hospitality for big, very luxury hotels. We met in business school and we were just friends. And at some point, we didn't want to make Italian restaurants. We just wanted to do something together. For I believe eventually this is work, you know, it's you go there, you wake up, you go to work, and then you go back home. Great thing about this is the people you do it with and you do the people you do it for. So practically what I love about my job is I'm doing it with Tigran, I'm doing it with 800 Italian people whom I adore, I'm buying from 200 Italian producers whom I know by their name, I've slept in their homes, I know their family. I'm doing that for thousands of clients that, well, when I walk in the restaurants and I go across the tables and I talk to people, I'm like, that's a great job. I hope these people are having a good time and that's because of us. I would say that makes a difference. So it was not original about Italian food. And I'm not saying that to undermine the fact that we're passionate about food. It starts with what's in your plate and we love Italian food. But I think it gets way bigger than that. Mm.
So where does that shift into Italian food come from? And what was your first business?
Well, the real story is is not that glamorous. The real story was we wanted to do something with Tigran. And after 6 months of looking at hundreds of business ideas, we went back to Tigran's first love, which was, okay, let's do a chain of crepe.
Crepes.
Crepes, yes. And we didn't find anything better to do, literally. And so we resign and we start our business. And like after months, we look at each other and we say, okay, we can't be doing this. It's too boring. It doesn't take us in the gut. There is nothing in the guts at the end of the day. And it's a bad business. And it took us a month and a half to say, okay, let's quit that idea. And it literally took us 5 seconds to say, okay, let's do Italian food. Mm. Because after a month starting to work in the hospitality and food industry, we thought that's the best industry in the world. Mm. But we have to be passionate. because it's such a hard job. You work all the time and you work when people are having fun, etc., etc. If you're not passionate, I can't imagine that it can work if you're not passionate. And I could speak Italian. My family had been on and off with Italy because my father has always worked between France and Italy. He was fluent in Italian. He had grown at the frontier. We adored Italy. We adored Italian food. Actually, we're two French people. But I think we'll look at Italy the way, maybe the way you look at the woman you love. You see all the positive aspects. And even when she's a pain in the ass, you think that, well, that's great. Oh, she's so charming, you know. That's the way we look at Italy. And that's the story we share at Big Mama, I would say, is the story of our own memories of two French guys in love with Italy.
So what does that first restaurant look like? And how do you go about setting it up, finding producers, and coming up with the concept? What does that look like? It's in Paris, right?
It's in Paris, and we're 2013. And we said to everyone, okay, we're going to do Italian restaurants. And people look at us and say, are you like deficient or something? Like, there are so many of them. And at some point we say, well, maybe they're right. I mean, what is going to be so special about what we do? What is it exactly we want to do? And it took us quite some time to figure it out. Actually, it took us 2.5 years between the moment we started and the moment we opened our first restaurant. And I think it took us 2.5 years to realize actually something very simple. What we try to achieve is, how do you create a space in the middle of Paris, Lille, London, wherever, where you open the door, you pass the door, and you're in Italy? I like to see our restaurants a little like the Italian embassy. This is Italian soil. And how do you travel to Italy for 2 hours in the middle of Shoreditch, in the middle of the 11th neighborhood in Paris? And you don't do that by just putting Tiziano Ferro in the speakers and the gondola on the wall, because I think it would be both too easy and probably not very interesting to replicate a postal card 1920 Italy. How do you create today's Italy with real people? That's what we're trying to achieve. And that je ne sais quoi of Italian touch is actually what we're trying to do at Big Mama. And of course, it starts with the food. So to answer your question, we buy products from more than 180 producers in Italy. I toured personally Italy for 2 years. That, by the way, were two great years.
That sounds amazing.
Sourcing hams and cheeses and mozzarella and the best Parmigiano ham, and that guy, the best Parmigiano cheese. And that guy put me in touch with that guy in San Daniele who does 10,000 hams a year, when an industrial guy would do 10,000 a day. And the guy would not get me over the phone. So I eventually took my car and drove 2,000 kilometers and like, ding dong, yes, that's me, the guy who you never took over the phone. And said, oh, ciao, ma, che bello che sei con noi. And he just took 36 hours with me, and I slept over in his home, etc. And I got so many stories like this. That's the real passion we try to share with people coming with us. So to create a moment where you're in Italy, we buy direct from the producers. Our staff is 99% Italian. We can talk about this later, because I think that's eventually really the most important thing and an interesting thing that we do. And that's what we're passionate about eventually. And that's pretty much it.
When you're thinking about doing Italian and, as you say, wanting to transport people to Italy when they come in for a meal, was your original concept to be this all-consuming, everything has to come from Italy, the staff has to speak Italian, they have to be from Italy? Is that your idea of authenticity, is having everything come direct from Italy?
The definition of authenticity is that it's authentic. So you can't artificially create authenticity. So the only way we have come up to share with people an authentic moment is, let's make it really authentic. So we buy the wood that you will see in our restaurants and the fabrics over the seats. They all come from Italy. And yes, the stuff comes from Italy. So I'm not teaching a French guy or an English guy, okay, that's mozzarella, that's burrata, that's the difference between both, and that's the way you should sell it. It's the concept of eventually, what is authenticity is, we build an amazing fast car, which is our restaurant, and we give the key to a 16-year-old Italian guy who doesn't have a driving license. And we tell him, you know what? Go, drive, and please drive fast. And when you see a girl along the road, horn hard. And yes, you can. And they look at you and they say, can I do that? And you say, yeah, come on, go. My point is, you can't tell someone to act Italian. You can't manufacture food to taste Italian unless it comes from Italy. Mm.
So after you get this first place up and running, which takes a couple of years of really coming up with the concept and finding the right producers, where does it go from there? How do you grow it from there? Because you didn't come from a restaurant background. So what was that experience like for you?
Actually, yes, we didn't come from a restaurant background, and we said, okay, what is it to operate a restaurant? And at this point, friends of ours say, okay, we just bought that restaurant in the south of France, and it was like the 1st of May. And it's a seasonal restaurant, and we don't know what to do with it this summer because it's going to take us a year and a half to redo it and do all the works and stuff. So maybe you want to operate it over summer. And we said, well, and the next day, literally, we went to the south of France and checked the restaurant. It was in Gordes, in Luberon, which is one of the most touristic villages in France. And we had never been, Tigran and I, in Gordes. So the next day we were in Gordes and we look at the restaurant, and it was, imagine a restaurant that had not changed for 60 years. That was a restaurant. And we said, okay, we're taking it. And there was a wood oven in that restaurant, trust me, or not. And literally 21 days later, we opened a Big Mama pop-up restaurant in the south of France, in Gordes. So yes, the design was not at the level of detail and quality and refinement of that what we do today, but it took us 21 days to open a 130 seats restaurant. And the first day, we had 350 clients. And that was really hard. And that's how we learned, actually. That's how we really learned the job. So that's how we started, a pop-up restaurant in the south of France that turned out to be extremely successful with so many clients. And yes, after 6 months, we came from scratch. And then after 6 months, we knew how to operate a restaurant.
Does this concept help you when you're really being ambitious in Paris, that sort of, you know, grow as a core with a strong group of people that we can trust, that's almost a family? And then you go and open several more restaurants, and huge restaurants, big places. This is very ambitious.
The only thing that matters are the people. The rest is just easy, answering emails and going to work and, yes, signing a lease, finding real estates, blah, blah, blah. That's easy. The real thing is the people. And how do you find amazing people, and how do you make them happy so they grow and they are every day more amazing? I think that is the challenge we faced since the beginning, and that's where Big Mama being such a fun experience and a big adventure, it has led us to just aggregate talented people so fast, and faster than the organic growth of the company. So we always have more talents than growth, and that's what allows us to grow even further. I mean, yes, in 4 years now, we have opened 9 restaurants. We serve 10,000 covers a day. We have one restaurant, which is 1,200 seats and serve 6,000 clients on a Saturday. We can do that because the people we have in the team are so amazing. And I wish I had a secret recipe to recruit amazing people, but I don't. And we don't recruit amazing people. We just recruit normal people. But by, I think, trying to empower them and having everyone in the team being proud and having real ownership of what we do, that's how we achieve to have eventually the most amazing team. Mm.
So bring us up to the most recent venture, and that's Gloria in London. That's a big sort of stretch, moving to London and moving that concept out of France. Where did that idea come from?
We realized after a few months, after a few years, that if Tigran and I, as the founder of the company, were having a good time, then the people around us eventually we're having a good time as well. And eventually the whole team was having a good time. And if the whole team is having a good time, our clients have a good time. And we're very lucky. It's been very hard for us to keep so, but we are very lucky. We're not private equity backed or whatever. So we don't have an obligation to grow. We grow because organically growing creates opportunity for everyone and makes the adventure bigger every day. What I love about my job is that 4 years ago, we were 2 in an office with my partner, and now we're managing a company of almost 1,000 people. I'd never expected that would happen to me. And I was living in Paris, and now I live in London. How cool is that adventure? And how cool is that adventure for my wife and for my kids? And if that's great for me, I believe that should be the trajectory of everyone in the company. I can tell you about Frank. Frank crossed the Mediterranean 6 years ago on these boats, most of them think, in the sea.
This is your dishwasher, Gloria.
Yeah. And no, he's not the dishwasher. He was a dishwasher in East Mama. And today, Frank is the head barman at La Felicita. That bar makes 3,000 cocktails on a Saturday, and he manages a team of 15 people. And now he has official papers, and he's making official money, and he has papers so he can go back to his country and see his family and then come back to work, etc., etc. So my trajectory is crazy with Big Mama. His trajectory is crazy with Big Mama. And that's why we're in London. We're in London because we adore London with Tigran. We both have a great history and amazing memories in the town for 20 years now. And we said, okay, now if we have bigger means, because our company is growing, to what end do we want to use these means? And actually, moving to London was just a very exciting perspective.
Talk to me about how you come up with the actual concepts for the new places then. What is the vision in opening a place like Gloria?
So for Gloria, just as we did for the previous restaurants, we do the design in-house. So how do we create the concept of a restaurant? It's pretty much always the same process. We group up with, I would say, around 10 people in the company, and we just try to find a common memory we have. So for Gloria, it was Capri off-season, like October, when there is not much people left on the island and it's just the sea and all these restaurants and places and remote sand beaches and all these colored fabrics and the light you have in the south of Italy in October, etc., etc. And we were building that memory and writing down that story. And once it's written, that becomes the concept. It's not a concept. It's a common memory that we share among the team. It's a very precise memory. Like it could be the story, a story or a book, you know. So it's a story about going to Capri and that's what the kind of thing you eat and that's how you spend your day and at what time do you go do you go to the beach and what is the temperature of the water at this time and what does your towel look like and what fabric is it in and then when do you go back and have a shower and what does that shower look like, and you make it really precise like a dream, and that becomes your restaurant. And then when you write it down, you just pull the string, and of course, so that's what we're going to eat, and that's how the sofas are going to look like, and that's how the lamp are going to look like, and okay, what lamp do we put here? Well, let's go online and check what we can find on internet that comes from Capri, or let's go to Capri and then we go to antique markets there and we buy lamps and we buy seats and we buy chairs and we buy tables, and that's how we build a restaurant. It all comes from a memory, and it's called Gloria because that name was very evocative of that memory for us.
What has your sort of partner's role been in driving this from the hospitality side? Because you come from a different background. He's worked with these bigger restaurants. Now he's working with a smaller group that has control over the designs and the trajectory of the company. What's that sort of relationship been like between you two in moving forward?
We both believe in management by the qualities. Maybe that's a bad translation from French to English, but it means that everyone in the company should focus on what they are particularly gifted at. Because if you try to spend time on what you're not good at just to be better at this, you're going to spend a lot of energy to go from 4 out of 10 to 6 out of 10. And if you focus on what you're good at, you're going to be 12 out of 10 with no effort. My partner, he is the most incredible people person I've ever met. And practically that's what he does at Big Mama. He just takes care of these 1,000 people and makes sure each and every of these 1,000 people whom he knows by name and he knows personally are happy, excited, proud, and feel ownership. Bottom line, ballpark, that's what he does.
In your role now today, you've got, 9 restaurants, 9 properties. You're now removed from France and full-time in London. What is your role in sort of keeping the company running, keeping everything on track?
What I try to do is fuel the company with energy and creativity and always putting us at risk, taking new chances, not taking anything for granted. Okay, we did that restaurant. It worked. How can we make it better? And if we're doing another restaurant, we should start from scratch again. And that's why if you come to each and every of our restaurants, they all have their very specific soul details, covers, menu, name, design, etc. And that's what makes all the staff so excited, because each restaurant has its own individuality, both in the concept, but also in the way it's operated, because I'm not operating them, Tigran is not operating them. The team of that specific restaurant is operating it the way they like to do it. And that's how eventually they feel ownership. So I would say Tigran is the most amazing manager I've ever met. And he manages through people and by taking care of people. And I'm more the entrepreneur of the company. Yeah, taking risk, taking new chances, trying to just find new ideas, implement them. If it looks really hard, then we should do it. And if no one has done it, it's probably because it's very tough to do. Okay, let's do it. And how can we do it? And how can we think out of the box, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's what I like. And that's why I moved to the UK, because, well, it's a huge challenge. No one is waiting for us here. It's the most amazing city in the world. It's extraordinarily competitive. The level of the restaurants here is over the top. Everything is so different. We're at the verge of Brexit. It's a big challenge.
I wonder about your actual role in being here and how growing the new concept and making sure it's executing the way you want it to, how that works. Because you talked to me about around the opening being so nervous and being on the floor and not wanting to take away from what the staff are meant to be doing, your managers, your chefs, the people that are there in place to make sure this is running properly. But you're there. What is your role and how do you not get in the way, but at the same time make sure everything is working properly?
My role here is try to make sure that we respect the four things that I think make a great restaurant. A great restaurant to us is a restaurant which is good, cheap, with a great design, served with a smile. I care a lot about food, about the artistic direction, about the menu, about, okay, how are we really going to cook that carbonara pasta? And cooking a good carbonara pasta is, I won't say it's easy, but it's okay easy. Cooking 200 in 2 hours, it's way more difficult. Mm. And how do we make sure that we get the most amazing guanciale, which is the pork cheek, from Italy, direct from the producers, and that it doesn't get blocked at custom or whatever, or just is late and we have to buy a shitty one here because we run out of the proper guanciale. That's how you make good food. Mm. And I just try to help the chef do that. Cheap. The day you believe you have a queue outside of your restaurants because you're a genius or you have a great concept, you're dead already. If you have a queue outside of your restaurant, it's because it's cheap. Mm. And value for money is everything in our line of work. It's everything. How do you price your restaurant? Mm. And how do you make sure that each and every dish, when they come on the table, people think, wow, that's a great portion. I mean, that's only £10. Wow, incredible. And then served with a smile. My role here is not to be the bad cop or the manager. It's more to try to empower everyone and make sure everyone feels proudness and ownership about what we're doing. Because I'm not opening the restaurant, the team practically is. And that's what I think make people happy and smiley. You can't teach someone to smile. You can teach someone who has no experience in the industry how to carry a tray or to fill a glass, but you cannot teach someone to smile. So you just need to find people that think that it is an amazingly rewarding job to be a waiter. I'm your waiter. My job is to make sure you're having a good time. I mean, can we name a cooler job than this? You dedicate the 30 or 40 or 50 hours that you work in a week to make sure people are happy. It's extremely rewarding. Not everyone thinks like that. So we make sure we find people that think like that and we just teach them how to carry glass, because that's not that complicated once you're passionate.
It's sounding like what really keeps you going is creating experiences and creating those great moments for people in dining, in lunches and dinners, and having people in your space and being able to present that sort of warmth and hospitality and great food and all these things. But what about the impact of everything else you're doing on people's lives, but also on the suppliers? How do you get the best and keep it good and cheap and also make everyone happy all the way down the line to the people you're buying from?
We became a B Corporation 6 months ago. It was about getting the label and the reward for the job we've done since we started the company and challenging us for the future to always do better. in particular in how we interact with all the stakeholders, which are suppliers, clients, staff, etc., etc. It's not about just making that restaurant profitable. It's how do you make it worthwhile? How do you make it of value over time for everyone? So your question is actually very important, because all these people we buy from, they would sell their mozzarella, their San Daniele ham, their guanciale, their pecorino romano, their burrata. They would sell them 20 times. They can't produce enough. They are very small artisans. So the relation we have with them, it has to be a partnership. We have to be up to their reputation. We have to deserve them. We have to magnify their product and tell the world how amazing that product is. I mean, they don't need us. We need them. Let's not think for one second that the greatest Italian artisan, they need us in London or in Paris to sell their products. I mean, everyone in the world want to eat the most amazing Parma ham and burrata. So the relation we have with them is very structured in many ways. We don't want to represent too much of their turnover. We contract long-term contracts with them so that they can have visibility on how they can invest, recruit, elaborate, buy new machines if needed, etc., etc. We visit them every 3 months, all of them. I'm in Italy next week for 9 days. I just opened a restaurant. It's very hard for me to leave London now, but we force ourselves to be there like every 3 months. And I'm talking me in person. Because again, the reason why they do it is not just to sell Parma ham. It's about to who do they sell it. And is that person really interested in what they do? And is that person able to tell their story?
It sounds like a big part of the excitement for you is not really knowing exactly where you're going to go. As you've already mentioned, you're not backed by VCs and people breathing down your neck to open the next place and to open a popular restaurant to fill it and keep the money coming in. But where do you look in the future, and how do you balance sort of the day-to-day and looking at what may be next?
I would say in life in general and in business more specifically, everyone has its own driver. When you launch your company, you have many drivers. Ego, will of freedom, will to prove the world that you're worth something or that you can achieve something. Share passion, delve into an existing passion that you want to give a bigger place in your life. For instance, for myself, food. And at some point, once your company grows, what we have seen in the past years is that, okay, the first year you're like anxious, maybe is that company going to ever exist? It took us 2.5 years to make it exist. So for 2.5 years, we're like worried, is it ever going to exist? And then for a year after we opened, is it going to live till next month? And are we going to be able to pay rents and salaries? And then after a year, okay, what's the next step? And at some point we said, okay, how can we try to change the rules in Paris? So we had this restaurant where we have a 5 euro pizza. It's the biggest restaurant in Paris now. And at some point you say, okay, what's next? Just adding restaurants? I mean, why? There is no point. The real reason why I think we're so excited every day, and we're working on many projects to keep going, is because it does change my life. I mean, I live now in London with my wife and kids. It changed the life of my partner, and it changes the life of the almost 1,000 people that work with us. And I think that is a fuel, and it fuels energy for us to develop without limit. The human factor has literally overtaken all other aspects at this stage.
That's all the time we have on today's show. Thank you to Victor Luguer for sharing the story of Big Mama. The group's latest venture is the London Trattoria Gloria. I'm Daniel Bates. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.